Open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We'll be there in just a moment. But I want to tell you a story about a preacher one time. He got up to speak, and as he did, he looked across the audience, and out there was his wife. And she gave him a little private signal that to him meant his zipper was down. And so he said, before we begin, we just need to take time to pray. And would you pray with me? And so he asked everyone to pray. And then he knelt down to pray. And unseen by anybody, he tried to take care of his zipper. And as he finished the prayer, he said, in Jesus' name, amen. He stood up and his tie was caught in the zipper. He said, let's pray some more. And he goes back down. Have you ever been in a situation in which you could just back up? You wish you could just back up. Wish you hadn't said those words. Do you ever find yourself in a position in which life happens one step too fast, or your mouth opens one step too fast, or you react just a little bit like, oh, I wish I had a moment longer to think that through? Has that ever happened to anybody? We all, haven't we? At one point or another, have just open mouth, insert foot, and oh, I wish that weren't the case. We have said something, done something, forgot to do something, and it just was so blatant and apparent. We just wish we could go back and do that all over again. Now, some of those may be silly and funny. Some of those might be consequential, like you forgot to pick up a spouse at the airport, or you forgot to pay an electric bill on time, or something like that. And there were some consequences. There were some repercussions. Life sometimes comes at us, and we wish we could do it over again. Maybe it's not the things that we said or did. It's just the way that life happens. I remember a few years ago, I was getting ready to go to bed, and we were finishing up some of the tasks, and my phone rang. And it was this new convert at our church, and she called me and said, hey, we're down at the such and such hospital. Our little daughter is here, and we've just got some terrible news. Would you come be with us? About 11 o'clock at night, I jump in the car. My wife comes with me, and off we go to sit with a family as their little 10-year-old daughter has just received life-changing diagnosis of a cancer that has just riddled her body. Don't you wish you could just turn back time and go back to a time when those things didn't happen? Don't you wish you could just rewind the clock and you could go back to a time when you and your spouse or you and your kids or you and your parents were aligned with one another, that you got along with one another? Don't you wish that in this world that is filled with so many troubles and trials, we could just backtrack it just a little bit so we could get back to that place where smiles and happiness and joy just filled our hearts? Do you ever feel like life is just so imbalanced? Do you feel like sometimes things are not the way that they're supposed to be? Maybe not everything, but some things. Maybe you wish there could be a do-over. In Luke chapter 2, there is a story of the birth of Jesus. And I want us to hear what is written, because there's something significant that is happening. If you would, look with me in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 22. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 22, it says, when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God by saying. Let me just pause right there. I want us to pay attention to this because it's repeated so often in Scripture. It is so important. We talked about this last week, that God is a God who is approachable, who is desiring relationship. And right here, this man is desiring to see God's fulfillment of the promise. And the Spirit reveals to him that he will not die until this happens. And as Mary and Joseph, as they come in to offer their sacrifice, the Spirit is at work and he recognizes this unique moment. And he takes the baby and he puts Jesus into his arms. Now, I want us to think about this for just a moment because it is so significant, that is so important for us to understand the gravity of who God really is and his whole master plan. Because God is desiring to be approachable, and we can all probably shake our heads to that. We can all relate to that. But the audacity of Scripture is this, that we can pick up this infant child. We can place Jesus, the Son of God, in our own hands. He picked up Jesus and put him in his arms, and he began to praise God, saying, verse 29, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about them. Then Simeon blessed him, and to his mother Mary, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. The sword will pierce your own soul too." Think about this for a moment. The presence of God lifted into human arms. Such frailty, such ignoble position of life. The Creator of all things is now in the presence of some unique individual holding him, taking care of him, blessing him, and providing for him. Flip over to Philippians chapter 2. We read a portion of this just a moment ago. In Philippians chapter 2, we're reminded of the full nature of what God has intended in Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5, it's helping us to connect as Christ followers, that we are to pattern our lives after Christ. It's not just that we marvel, that we're amazed, that we just stand in awe of all that he's done. We try to pattern and replicate what we can of what he has done. And Paul says, "In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus." Now he glorifies, he summarizes the whole nature of who Jesus is. "Who, being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used on his own or for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance of a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, and he gave him a name that is above every other name, In the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. This very nature of God in Christ Jesus, in the form of an infant child being held in human arms, just boggles the mind as how all that stuff fits together. But the amazement of God is He's so desiring of a relationship that He comes into our midst. Not as a ruler, not as an authoritative person, but as an infant child needing to be fed and clothed and taken care of. Now, I want us to understand our nature in life, our position, because as we started out, there's many times in which we fail or there's failings around us. This world is filled with sickness and darkness and trouble and trials. But the very nature of God is one that is consistent and remains unchanged forevermore. So I want to help us to understand a couple of things. That number one, if Jesus remains an infant, if at this time, as the world recognizes the nativity scene, the Christ birth, the silent night, the angels singing, if they only recognize that, if Jesus remains an infant child, then the help, the prophecy, the teaching, all that He declares is nothing but a dead end. It is nothing of value because He remains only a child who has no real intellect or decision or maturity or wisdom to be shared. That's why Luke goes on to say that Jesus, He grew in stature and wisdom, in favor with God and with man. He shows us progression, that Christ does not remain a child. And that the things that happen in His life are to signify the depths, the reach of God's love for humanity as He tries to connect. And if Jesus was never able to be an infant, then His death is a pretend. It's a fake story. If Jesus was never a real individual, then His death is also not of real consequence or significance to our lives. So I want us to grasp the very nature of God, who would place Himself as an infant child. But I want us not only to stay there in that moment, but to also grasp the full nature of what God desires, that He would humble Himself, that He would become a human sacrifice for our sins. He would be placed on the cross, that His blood would literally drip from His body. His life would flow out, and He would sacrifice Himself for our relationship with God. God is so approachable that He desires that we would pick Him up, that we would grab Him in our arms, and that we would bring Him into our hearts. Do you understand what God is striving to do? If He was never a child, or if He remains a child, we miss the full story of what God has decided to give to humanity. In the story of God, in the infant Christ, in the growing boy of Jesus, in the life of the Messiah as He teaches and leads, as He heals, and provides these miracles. He brings a shift to our understanding. One by one, He takes the troubles of our life. You may remember one of those miracles being a feeding of the 5,000. God is able to take what seems so limited in our understanding and turn it into something extraordinary and beyond compare. How many of us have been in a moment like that when we felt like we've run into the wall? There's not enough money at the end of the month. There's not enough time in this season. There's not enough, and we feel so constrained. God says, I'm greater than all that. I'm able to do something beyond all of that. Jesus walks among us and he finds those that are sick, who are ill, who are lame or deaf. And he says, the limitations of our medical understanding, the limitations of all that is able to happen within a body is now changed because I am the great physician. And he brings healing and health and restoration into our lives. And it gives us hope that we can pray for those that might be sick. And so when I sit down with a young family and their young daughter, it is not of hopelessness, but it is of purpose and power, opportunity. Because our God is a great God, isn't he? And so when we find those limitations, when we find those hurts, when we find those situations in which we wish in our mind we could do a do-over, we could backtrack it, we could find some way around the trouble. If I could just shut my mouth, if I could just speak up at the right time, if I could have enough wisdom to handle these situations, if I, and we struggle in life. And Christ comes to say, I am life. And I want to give it to you abundantly. And at some point, maybe we get excited about that. We get jazzed about what the church might be able to do in this dark world. But little by little, the fatigue of life, the age, our own energy begins to dwindle. Our own mortality starts to slip away. And the story of Jesus up there on the cross gives us hope that our sins, our failings, are not going to be an obstacle from God. But there's one last great obstacle in front of each and every one of us. And death will come knocking at our door. And we wish that we could bypass it. We wish we could rewind it so that we had one more chance with this relative or that relative or this friend or that friend. But time comes. In the story of Jesus, as an infant, presence of God able to be picked up into our arms is the same of the Jesus who is crucified, who is then picked up into the arms and is placed into a tomb. And it seems like everything is over, that the situation in which we had hoped is now forgotten. It's lost. We wish we could go around. We wish we could rally the disciples. We wish we could stop Judas. We wish, and we miss the power of Christ, because in just a moment, the gravestone rolls away. Death has been conquered. There is hope in humanity of a future in heaven with Christ, our Lord and Redeemer. Amen. And the things that we wish we could avoid now become road marks. It becomes memory points of the power and the presence of God in our life. Right now, as we prepare for that future home with Him. You see, the very nature of God is unchanging. For His purpose was always that. And we would be stuck in this unfortunate life if there was no birth, no death, no resurrection. If the story of Christ remains just an infant child, we miss the power of who Christ really is in his later years. And in the later years, if there was no birth, it becomes of no consequence because it would just be a fable. It would just be a mystery. It would just be a made-up story if he wasn't really here with us. But the story is that Christ dwelt among us. And our life is not an unfortunate story. Though we will have difficulties, the unchangeable God, whose purpose is almighty restoration of this fallen world, which includes me and you. Brothers and sisters, I want us to recognize this continuity of God. this true purpose that He has given to us. And so, in this season, we can celebrate that Christ child. We can remember that manger scene. We can give honor and remembrance to the birth, to the angels singing, to the wonderful message that was given to Mary, to the protective voice that was given to Joseph. We can remember all of that, but we are saved by a resurrected Christ. Amen? It is His blood that was shed on the cross that gives us freedom from our sins. It gives us hope of a new life. It places us in the throne room of the Creator of all things. And this story that we often tell of frustration, of difficulty, of wishing that we could go back and start all over again is not the story that we want to tell. We want to tell the story of a God who is so great that He humbled Himself to a point where He was such a vulnerable infant child. But He grew, and He proclaimed the presence of God among us. That He got our attention as He handled the challenges and the things that seemed to limit us. And He brought our focus to one moment, to one place that so divides history, that in His death and then just a few days later, His resurrection, the whole world has changed. We have hope over hope. We have a hope of new life. We have a hope that overcomes anything that we have messed up in. We have a hope that is anything greater than any of the trouble that comes our way. We have a hope that will not stop. It will not shrink back. It will not fail. We will not lose hope because our God is a living God. Our God is an overcoming God. Our God is forevermore. And He always was that way. And He always will be that way. In this season, as you get a chance to be with your family and friends, I hope, as you get a chance to maybe quiet your heart and your mind a little bit, as you get to reflect on your highs and your lows, I pray that over all these things, you will give honor and power and position to the Lord of Lords, to the King of Kings. Your highest high is not your own making. Your lowest low, you've not been forgotten, forsaken. He's still with you. And our God is unchanged. Forevermore, everlasting, all-powerful. And for that, we can praise Him forever as well. Let's stand together and sing this song.
Lord, take